Father for this.
Yes, we bless you, Lord. Can we lift our hands and thank him for our lives? Let's thank him for the days, the weeks, and the months, and the years we have lived on earth. Let's thank him. Let's appreciate him. It's never enough to give thanks to him for our lives, for we are fearfully and wonderfully made. He's given us some gems that we can combine with our lives to do something tangible. Let's appreciate God. If you have already been committed, thank God that he's helping you. If you are not yet fully committed, say, Lord, thank you for reminding me. I will do what I need to do. I'll go your way. I'll perform my duty. I'll bring glory to your name. I'll stand before your throne and will not be in regrets. Thank you for helping me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Can we clap our hands for Jesus this morning? Hallelujah. Before Sister Muji will come and read, I just want us to remember something we read in that Corinthians, staying at our post. Nigeria is a kind of place where people don't stay at their post. They are always looking for something else. They become member of House of Rep, which is a post that for 4 or 8 years, but they are thinking of how to become majority leader, committee chairman, speaker. They fight over those things. You know, to become a professor is a state on its own that can take you a lifetime. To be honest with you, I mean, to shine as a principal of a school is enough a work than just start struggling to become the regional vice president of the principal associations in your area. You know, I mean, that's enough for us to do in our post. That's enough for us to do. And I want us to, you know, those of us who are professionals, you see, even among pastors today, they become apostles. Huh? They have not fully utilized where they are. If you really utilize, Pastor Adeboye has not finished using pastoring yet. Are you following? So really get to our post and focus there. Not just all this, just let's be, HOD manager will not last forever. Huh? Brother Peter, one time you are manager or something, you don't last forever. But what did you get there? So I want to, let's stay at our post. Praise God. Let's stay. He said, alertly and unswervingly. Praise God. Amen. Let's not be title oriented. Let's be what we do. I was hearing Fashola yesterday. How many of you know Fashola? He just is off work now. He's resting. He said something that just really blew my mind. He said, I work so much that I will have to work all through the week, and I don't have social life at the end weekend because I have to go through all the memos and revive myself, renew myself for the weekend, so I didn't have any social life. He said, I'm relaxing now. It was a man that was so hardworking. So I want us to stay at our post. Something he said really blessed me. He said, there's an office and there's a job. He said, we must not let the office carry away the job. People are just after the office, but not the job at hand. So let's do it. Amen. Stamboji, are we ready this morning? Let's clap our hands for Jesus as he comes. Thank you. Thank you. Today is on healing. Great. Let's read that quickly. All right. Which day? What? Day 4. They are not hearing you. Okay, day 24. All right, thank you. Please.
Good morning, church. Healing and the gospel are for all. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believes not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Mark 16, 15. At times I've prayed, Lord, I laid hands on brother so-and-so, and he didn't get any better. But notice in this passage, God didn't say, just go lay hands on the sick and they will recover. No, he starts out by saying, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Then he says, these signs shall follow them that believe. We aren't supposed to just go around looking for sick people to lay hands on. They will run away if we do that. First, we have to tell them the good news of the gospel, that it's God's will to heal them. Then we lay hands on them, then they will recover. We make a mistake rushing to lay hands on people without teaching them to cooperate with the world. I remember a case like that. People laid hands on a man to pray for him, but the moment they were done, he said, well, that sure didn't work. He didn't expect it to work because no one had taught him how it was supposed to work. If that same man had heard the gospel first, he could have gotten in agreement with the person praying for him. He could have known for himself that God's will is healing for all. Confession, let's do it together. I'm always ready to give God's word to someone in need because it will produce faith in me and all who hear it.
Thank you so much, Samuji. All right, praise the Lord. Let me announce this. Somebody said, "Can anything else I can do in church? Maybe I don't have time." You know, there's this two. We have these two prayer groups. There's this. After we finish service like this, I think is the first service or second service. You can pray for people of God. You can come for prayer team, but you can join this one we call Epaphras. They pray. I think you pray after this service too. All right. So they pray in the office up there. You can just spend 30 minutes there about, and they pray together. So you can spend time if you don't have the time to join the main prayer team. That group is there. We call it Epaphras. They pray for church, pray for things, and pray about issues in church. So just about 30 minutes after service, you can join them. There's another one that we have that we pray for Sunday service on Friday, after Friday service, just about 25, 30 minutes at the back there by Friday. So that one, we call that one Caleb Force. So you can use any of these things to just serve the Lord weekly. It's fantastic to do that, you know. So instead of just going off thinking that you don't have time to serve the Lord, you can do those just two things. Praise the Lord. Let's do some. I started something last week about benefit. Let's go to Psalm 103 and take it up. I just want to say some. Before the year, I start running heavily and get committed to different things. Let's start with this. Psalm 103, verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me, bless his holy name. Next verse. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Let's keep reading. Who forgives all your iniquities? Who heals all your diseases? Who redeems your life from destruction? Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies? And who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is like the eagles? I want you to see something. I want to talk to us at our level today. And I want to just beg you for your hearing. I want to talk to you like somebody who is 25-year-old or 20-year-old. So I want to really make it kind of clear. If you notice this chapter, this passage we just read, there's something about personal, not communal. Let's go back to that verse 1 again. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me, bless his holy name. Next verse. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. This is not bless the Lord, O all of us. Oh, let's not forget. No, this is personal. This is yourself. And this is important, not to put ourselves in the community. First of all, put ourselves as a singular person before God. Each one of us must give an account of our lives to God. And so David began this. Personalize it. This is not, you know, something just keep coming to my mind. Let me say it. You know, God came to Gideon. And Jesus said, angel said to Gideon, you can deliver the people. Let's go and read it. Chapter 6, the book of Judges. I want you to see something there. Judges chapter 6. Take a look at this. Hallelujah. Verse 11. Judges chapter 6, verse 11. Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree, which was an Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, while his son Gideon thrust wheat in the winepress in order to hide it from the Midianites. Let's keep reading. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you." Please take a look at this verse. "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." Let's look at the massive reply. Next verse. Gideon said to him, "Oh my Lord," please take a look at this verse. "If the Lord is with us," the angel didn't say that. What did the angel say? "The Lord is with you, not with all of you. Why then has all this happened to us? And where are all these miracles which our father told us about?" Saying, see, there is a problem we are going to have as God's people, as Christians. We must not put ourselves in the statistics. Thank God for statistics. 50% of marriage will wind up in divorce. That's when you put your marriage in that statistics. Are you hearing me, somebody here? So let's not put ourselves in statistics, you know. "Oh, but this happens to the people of God, but that happened to the people of God." But David said, "Bless the Lord, oh my soul." Things will happen to many of us. Things will happen to different people. But you're going to have to locate yourself personally in the presence of God. For you must give account of your life before God. So David said, "I want to personalize this. I want to bless the Lord, my soul. And don't forget all his benefits. Who heals, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases." So let's make it personal this morning. Forget about what you have heard. Somebody, something happened, that church, pastors, prophet, whatever you have heard. Make it personal. Amen, somebody. Tell yourself, "I will bless the Lord and I will not forget all his benefits to me." Praise God. Praise God. In fact, sometimes I have to do this even in my own home. I have to separate my wife from myself sometimes because she's a child of God as me too. We have different, unique things before God. And I must not think that my life substitutes for her life. Only one person did that, Jesus. Okay, so we need to get that. I had an experience this morning. He said, "Who forgives all your iniquities?" I had an experience this morning. I saw myself traveling like as if I was coming out of Ibadan. And I saw this house that was almost emptied. Like a duplex or like this story building. And I heard a voice saying to me, "See that house that is empty now? One time, this person that owned this house had that was... We go and pick girls in Unilag, you know, marry me all, you know, and go out with them, different kind of girls. And so you can see the repercussion of his ways now. His house is empty." So, you know, it's strange, you know, and I came back to myself. And the Lord just told me, said, "That's what will happen when a person has not received forgiveness for all their iniquities." Because sin has consequences. Remember when David had an affair with Bathsheba, he had to lose his 10 secondary wives, concubine to his son, and mess up like that. So, that's why God wants to forgive us. Want to cancel the debt. Are you hearing me? There's an indebtedness that comes with sin. You see, when people steal money, it's just more than taking Nigeria money. There's an indebtedness that follows it that has to be cleared. The universe cannot just write things off. That's why God had to kill his own son and shed his blood. When the Bible says that you should not take revenge, it doesn't mean that God will not avenge. Let's make that very clear. He said, "Vengeance is mine. I will repay." It doesn't mean that it's canceled. So, but when we come to say, "God, forgive us," he will remove the debt. Is that clear now? So it's important for us to not just neglect an issue. We must decisively ask for forgiveness and clear it off, or else it will boomerang somewhere else we never think. You know, David one time, David, during his reign, he was having a famine. First year, second year, third year. So he went to God. He said, "God, what's going on here?" God said, "It's not your problem. Neither is it the people's problem. It's your predecessor that took the Gibeonites and killed them. Because the Gibeonites came to Joshua years before, and they had covenant with Joshua. And he said, let's kill them. He said, don't touch them because you have covenant with them. But in his zeal for God, Saul began to kill the Gibeonites. And then Saul died, and it erupted years later in somebody else's domain. 3 years of famine. Sometimes we should think of Nigeria like that. But there's a redemption in Christ that has given us forgiveness of sin. We should clap our hands for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, let's talk about Psalm 103, verse 2. I want to talk about this part. And don't forget all his benefits. Let's look at next verse. Who forgives all your iniquities, predicating that we will mess up one time or the other? And who heals all your diseases? I want to be critically clear over this matter here. As you get older, you start noticing some abnormalities in your body. You know, our parents, some of us, we see some of them. And then what do you do with them? Certain things may be happening in your body. What do you do with them? You know, in my younger days, I would say, no, that's not true. That's not true. That's not true. But as you begin to get older, I noticed that this verse of scripture can be peculiarly yours. Who heals all your diseases? None of us over here is clean, all genetically, physically, everything. Am I right, Dr. Riba? Nobody, there's none of us over here that has nothing that has not to do with some kind of abnormality in our lives. And that does not show up when we are younger. As we get older, the difficulties of life, living it with our imperfection, physically, not morally now, will start showing up. And so David particularly take this verse and he said, who heals all my, so we have to make it personal, all my diseases. Somebody said, I don't have any, Jesus bore it. I know, but he bore your own. So I want us to spend some few minutes to talk about this in a very, very clear, practical way. That we will have things that be wrong with our bodies, and God said, I want to, just like I forgive all your iniquities, I want to heal you. One of the last things is that he will renew your youth like the eagles. Remember that? And honestly, I've experienced some of that I will start feeling certain things in my life, and on purpose, I will bring this to the Lord, and I say, Lord, you say you are going to renew my youth. And one way or the other, things start being taken care of. That's why I want us to receive this word at the beginning of the year like this and make it part and parcel of our lives, because we are getting older. And you know what has happened to your uncle, your auntie, your fathers, your mothers, your stuff? When something they noticed, one time my father was sick, and we took her to the hospital, and they told all of us that our children, that beware of this too. Are you hearing me? What do you do with that? So let's look at what we can do practically this morning. Since God said, who heal? In fact, in the original, it says this. Who is forgiving all your iniquities, and who is healing all your diseases? I know that this morning when you had first of all, kind of teaching about commitment, all of us could see that we are not yet fully power. We are not yet fully there. And thank God that Pastor David came and said, let's pray for God to pardon our ignorance. So let's look at what we can do. Let's take some step by step. Let's go to chapter 15, Exodus. We're going to use the New Living Translation to make it clearer. I want us to know that the Lord wants to heal all our diseases. Now I know that, let me offer this first. I don't know about you. I went to university in the 80s. And it was the revival of the Christian movement in the university. And all kinds of books were coming out. That's when we started having critical books in Nigeria. That time, 2 naira, they're about 250 to buy them. You know, and then there were also what they call the evangelical movement, the CU. And we were getting two streams from America. We were getting the stream of Billy Graham and evangelistic movement, and we are also getting the stream of people like Kenneth Hagin, faith movement. How many of you remember Joni Akasi? that was paralyzed. I don't know if you, a story. Okay, thank you. And so this lady was a young lady, went to go and swim, and then she jumped to water. The water was not there, and then she got paralyzed from neck down. Remember that story? She's now behind doing Ekerson Tada, married later. And they would take her to meetings of the evangelistic things and showcase her of suffering and of endurance. So we got these people talking about, you know, there's nothing you can do about what happens to you. Then we have someone that can say all things are possible. And the two streams are coming at us at the same time. So we have people that believe that God's going to make you well, and other people that, you know, you just have to endure. And these two streams are difficult. I had to do a lot of study in this area. And I came to see that in the early part of the church, when church began, they were doing more about healing and forgiveness of sin. But over the years, by the 16th century of Martin Luther and John Calvin, they began to put aside talking about God and healing and stuff. And they start talking about, really, because your soul is going to go to hell, we should be focusing on more of the spiritual things. And so that dichotomy came. And even till now, it's difficult for some of us to believe that, because the Western world that brought us this evangelical movement came into the 19th century of enlightenment movement, that God doesn't do things like that anymore. God is just only spiritual. Put him in the spirit, but don't bring him to the physical. And that's why this attack on prosperity and attack on healing, because we will handle that. God will handle the spiritual. Hallelujah. But any casual reader of the Bible will see things. Let me tell you a story. How many of you have heard of Rehoboam? No, T.L. Osborne. T.L. Osborne. He was a crusader. He would go to do crusade. So one day he went to Congo to minister in Congo. When he got to Congo, there was this thug that would come and attack every kind of crusade. And this thug was a big guy, lanky thing. So he was coming to this meeting to attack T.L. Osborne. But when he got about to the crusade ground, he saw T.L. Osborne opening Mark 16. We just read this morning about going to all the world, preach the gospel, this time for them to believe. In my name, they lay hands on the sick, they cast out demons. He just froze. This dog just froze. And he told his boys, don't attack yet. I want to listen. Later, he became a bishop. Very powerful man of God. Guess what happened? He was attacking Christians because when he was a young boy in Catholic school, they gave him a Bible and he read Mark 16, the same place T.L. Osborne was opening. And when he read it, he went to the Catholic nun and said, "Ma, I read in this Bible that Jesus was casting out devils, was healing the sick." They said heresy and threw him out of school. And he became an atheist. And he said he's going to attack all that Christians stand for. And so one day he was about to attack crusade of T.L. Osborne. And T.L. Osborne was reading that verse. He had that verse afresh. He wept, cried, and turned to the Lord, got saved, became a bishop later, was known all over Congo. You know, a lot of time, what we are struggling with is not really our problems, actually our ideology. So let's look at Exodus 15:26. Take a look at this in New Living Translation. Let's just read it. And this is what the Bible said. It said, if you will listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God, do what is right in his sight, obeying his commands and keeping all his decrees, then I will not make you suffer any of the diseases I sent on the Egyptians, for I'm the Lord who heals you. You know, in those earlier days, when we read verse like this, we say the healing is for the Jews. That's what he told us, you know, the theory, that it's actually for the Jews. The Christians are no longer with that. We are now having spiritual blessing. That's one. Then some people start coming up and say, look here, if we have a better covenant, the better will include the good. Am I making some sense? If 35 is better than 20, it's because 20 is included in 35 plus more. Am I making some sense? The greatest conviction, the greatest reason why I have to believe this, because the person we called our Lord was not just a teacher, he was a healer. Am I making some sense? I mean, the person we called, what distinguished him from the Pharisees and Sadducees was his miraculous power. And the same Bible says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, I know what has happened. I know all the fake miracles. I know all the lies. I know all the miracles that didn't last. I know that. But this verse is saying to us that God is saying, if you listen carefully. Now, don't forget this. These are the Egyptians where the Jews came out from. Anybody who studied history, the Egyptian people are very advanced in medicine. Very, very advanced in medicine. In fact, they were studying how to preserve human race for years to come. They are the one who invented mummification, that you could stay as a dead body for 2,000 years and not decay. They were very powerful, not only just in natural medicine, and also in magic power. They had all kinds of potions and stuff, all these skin beauty things. The Egyptians were very advanced. They were Africans. Very, very advanced. And they had all kind of complexity. And God was telling his people that they spent 400 years coming out. And God said, I'm going to give you a prescription. Just listen to me. Wow, what a prescription. Just listen carefully to my voice. And do what's right. And preserve my commandment. And take that, then I will not make you suffer. Then he closed like this, for I am the Lord who heals you. In fact, that word was this, I'm your personal physician. God knows that we will have problems. So he said, I'm going to be your personal physician. Hallelujah. Are we everybody? Now, let's take that listening to God as part and parcel of our health. Listening to God. Listening to God. He said, if you listen carefully to the voice, if you notice in that verse, there are things like commands, decrees, voice. They are more of words. They are more of utterances. So, let's read some things about getting older. You see, it's easier to believe things like this when you are younger, when you don't have any issue. But as you get older, what happens? Let's go to the book of Chronicles, 2 Chronicles 16, about a man. His name is Asa, or his name was Asa. Hallelujah. I want you to see something over there talking about this. Are we there? Okay, let's just read it. Let's look at verse 11. Note that the act of... No, give me in NLT. Thank you. NLT, thank you. The rest of the event of Asa's reign from beginning to end are recorded in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. Now, they were giving us the end, the rest of the event of Asa's reign. Look at next verse. And in the 39th year of his reign, Asa developed a serious foot disease. That was toward the end of his life. Older. Yet, even with the severity of his disease, he did not seek the Lord's help, but turned only to his physicians. Why did God specify this? Now, God was not against physicians, but this verse was saying that he didn't open the door to seek the Lord. Like he said, if you listen carefully, one thing I thank God for Dr. Alibaba, he has that. In all these things that Dr. Alibaba does, he listens to God. He prays. He told me before that people have fertility problems in his clinic, and early in the morning when he's praying, he'll be praying about their lives and talking to God about them. And then, come, bam, they have children. Of course, not everyone, but, you know. So, he did not seek the Lord's help. So, we must also learn to seek the Lord's help when we are feeling diseased and when we are feeling sick. But you don't just think that you just, okay, go over there and go over there and go over there and go over there and go over there. In my few experience in life, doctors can tell you things and may not just work out like that. I have cases where I have sponsored people, give them money to go to the hospital, do an operation, and they come back, it didn't get better. Are you hearing me? Praise God. So he said, we should learn to seek. But see, this problem is deeper than this. Anybody who look at him and say, didn't seek the Lord's help, is because if you are going somewhere, if you look at my journey, I'm here now. But getting here is not just sudden. It's something that transpired. Now, King Asa was not like that to start with. Let's go to the beginning of that same chapter. We're just going to read. Take a look. In the 36th year of Asa's reign, it's been great. God has blessed him. If you read about the story, it was, let's go to chapter 15, verse 1. Okay, 14 verse 1. I hope it's, I want to get the beginning of King Asa. When Abijah died, he was buried in the city of David. Then his son Asa became the next king. There was peace in the land for 10 years. Let's keep reading. And Asa did what was pleasing and good where? Now, let's fast forward that to chapter 16. This is the beginning of his years. Back to 16 verse 1. 16 verse 1. 36th year of Asa reign, king of Basra of Israel, invaded Judah and fortified Ramah in order to prevent anyone from entering or leaving King Asa's territory. Now, the chapter before, he was facing an army. What we are facing now is the army of problems, demons, disease, and cold. We don't face physical army like that anymore. And this army of the Egyptians were about 1 million people coming against him. And King Asa said, Lord, it's with you to deliver, whether few or many. And King Asa was given victory over this 1 million army. Now, toward the end of his reign now, somebody came to invade his realm, King Basa. Next verse. Now, instead of calling upon the Lord, Asa responded by removing the silver and gold from the treasures of the temple and the royal palace. He sent it to King Ben-Hadad of Aram, who was ruling in Damascus, along with this message. You see, one of the things you understand is this. When you have money, you can get good health care. Am I correct about that? These things are expensive. Hello? So, now, God had blessed King Asa and had gotten to a point where he had enough resources. In these earlier days, he didn't have so much, trusting God. But now, he just went to the house of God. The money that God had given to the house of God, he took it and sent to this man. Let's keep reading, along with this message. Let there be a treaty between you and me, like the one between your father and my father. See, I'm sending you silver and gold. Break your treaty with King Basa of Israel so that he will leave me alone. See, the king of Basa was attacking him. So he went to King of Assyria and said, you, King Assyria, you have a deal with King Basa. So break your agreement. I'm giving you money instead. And then you cannot let him leave me alone. Become the enemy of my enemy. I'll be free. Next verse. And that happened. So Ben-Hadad agreed to King Asa's request, sent the commanders of his army to attack the towns of Israel. They conquered the towns of Ijon, Dan, Abelbeth, Maacah, and all the store cities in Naphtali. Next verse. As soon as Basa of Israel heard what was happening, he abandoned the project of attacking and fortifying Ramah and stopped all the work on it. Next verse. And then King Asa got his desire now, called out all the men of Judah to carry away the building stones and timbers that Basa had been using to fortify Ramah. Asa used these materials to fortify the towns of his own place. Next verse. Then trouble up. At that time, Anani, the seer, came to King Asa and told him, because you have put your trust in the king of Aram, instead of in the Lord your God, you missed your chance to destroy the army of the king of Aram. Next verse. Don't you remember what happened to the Ethiopians and Libyans and their vast army with all of their chariots and charioters? At that time, you relied on the Lord and he handed it over to you. Next verse. I don't know if everybody's right. This verse. They had the Lord run to and fro. That's where the verse came from. They had the Lord search the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. What a fool you have been. From now on, you will be at war. And your money won't be enough for it. So instead of King Asa humbling himself, next verse, he became so angry with Anani for saying this that he threw him into prison and put him in stocks. At that time, Asa also began to oppress some of his people. Next verse. And rest of his event. And next verse, he became sick. Now, he's not dealing with God anymore, reducing his dependence on God. When he got sick, he started just like he did for the other king. So I want us to not become too secular. Am I making some sense? That's why even when you get food by money, pray over the food. Are you hearing me? It's your hard work, but pray over the food. Let's also always welcome the spiritual. And usually the reason why we don't get that, now let me drop this bombshell. A lot of people don't think about their work with God. So when they run into some of these physical problems, they just think that prayer alone will do it. It may not work that way. Let's look at another king, King Hezekiah. How many of you remember Hezekiah in the Bible? Let's go to Isaiah 38. Isaiah 38, quickly. Isaiah 38, verse 1. I hope I'm correct. About that time, Hezekiah became deathly ill. Deathly ill. He was sick. Some of this terminal thing, maybe, don't know. And the prophet Isaiah, son of Amos, went to visit him. Prophet came and said to him, gave him this message. This is what the Lord says. Set your affairs in order, for you are going to die. You will not recover from this illness. That's the prophet. Deliver that to him. And do you know what? A lot of time in Israel, the word of a prophet is greater than the word of a doctor. You know what I mean? Prophet, that's real prophet, or you are good, you are done for. But I want you to see something here. This is where I'm going. Next verse. When Hezekiah heard this, he turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord. Remember, if you listen to my voice, do my commandment, do what's right, my decrees. Next verse. Remember, O Lord. Now, please take a look at, I love this. Remember, O Lord, how I've always been faithful to you and I've served you single-mindedly. Always doing what pleases you. Then he broke down and wept bitterly. On Friday, I was talking about serving the Lord, worshiping the Lord, that God will deliver you if you just serve him and worship him. He won't just heal you because he wants you to be running around playing table tennis. When I finish, I want to, sorry for doing this, Bola Uchi came to me. And she said, you know, Reverend, I want to share with you as I worship God. I have some experiences, but I just want to share it with you. So we stood over here. He said, I had this issue on my hand that was like a fungal thing. And I treated it and took care of it, but it was just getting greener and greener and greener. And we're just not just, am I right? We're just there. And we say, when will this thing leave? When will this thing go and change? I mean, it's getting my hands disfigured. He said, so just worshiping God, one of these days, just worshiping God, and just heard a voice saying, look at your finger. See, look, it was like normal skin again. Just right down there. We're just worshiping. You know, you just, when it comes to this kind of thing, not just only just, you can pray. No, there is a walk with God. Am I right, somebody here? That's a listening to God. That you can call upon. He said, remember, O Lord, I have always been faithful to you. I've served you single-mindedly. Now, it doesn't mean it's always, the guy had some pride in his life, but he said, I'm trying to do whatever I can do. Now, look at next verse. And the Lord, then this message came to Isaiah from the Lord. What is the next? Go back to Hezekiah and tell him. So the Lord, God of your ancestor David, said, I've heard your prayer and seen your tears. I will add 15 years to your life. Can we clap our hands for Jesus? Praise God. So we can actually talk with the Lord over our life concerning our physical infirmities. And he will, if we have a relationship with him, he will step in and help us. Look, don't get to this thing that because you are sick, you are not dealing with God. Blah, blah. No, that's not true. These are guys who are working with the Lord. Am I right? So when issues come up, stop blaming yourself and then take it to the Lord. Whatever help you want to get the help, but don't leave the Lord out. Am I making some sense this morning? In fact, later God told him to put some potties on it and for Hezekiah and another place, you know. And this is what I'm emphasizing this morning as I start rounding up. My time is really up. But I want us to close on these two notes. I want to close with two women. I've mentioned two men, right? I want to close on two women. Let's go to Mark 5. And we have this assurance. Please, I want to plead with you this morning. I have this assurance. All of us have this assurance. Mark 5, 25. I want you to look at this. Whatever issue you are dealing with, Mark 5, 25. A woman in this crowd has suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding. She has suffered a great leap from many doctors, and over the years, she has spent everything she had to pay them, but she had gotten no better. I want you to see this scenario going on here. So sometimes, Dr. Aliba, bear witness, because sometimes things just get confused. You just don't know what to do with this case. You did all the drugs, you know what I'm talking about? Even outside that, you may not even have all the money to do what we need to do. She's paid them, she had gotten no better. In fact, she had gotten worse. Next verse. She had had, see, if you listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God, it's back there again. So, hearing about Jesus, she came up behind him, through the crowd, and touched his robe. Let's keep reading. So, for she thought to herself, or she said to herself, if I just touch his robe, I'll be healed. Next verse. Immediately, the bleeding stopped, and she could feel in her body that she had been healed of a terrible condition. But you know what shocked me in this healing? It's not just only that she got healed. Look at next verse. Jesus realized at once that healing power had gone out from him. Let me be honest with you. Can I be honest with you? Let me tell you what I look forward to when I feel sick or when I'm feeling down. I look forward to the Lord himself personally touching me. I'm not just thinking of just getting healed one kind, you know, just bam, you know. I go to the Lord, just like you go to a doctor, and then you say, Lord, I really, and do you know what? The crowd was so much, but Jesus, when that woman touched Jesus stopped that. There's something taking place between them. And I can guarantee this, if you did it for that woman, you can do for us, his sons and daughters. We can look forward to, he said, who touched my clothes? Let's keep reading. Next verse. And the disciple said to him, look at this crowd pressing around you. How can you ask who touched me? Next verse. He kept on looking around to see who had done it. And she came, next verse, and she made all her confessions, tell us what's about God. And look at next verse quickly. Our time is gone. Daughter, your confidence and assurance in me has made you well. Go in peace. The suffering is over. My time is up. Are we ready to sing? Give a choir. Now, can you look up here? Jesus raised many who were dead when he was alive. But there was only one person that was raised from the dead in the book of Acts. I hope you are listening. Only one person that was raised from the dead. And there's a lot to learn from that story. Okay, another boy fell down from listening to the word of God. Paul said he didn't die. No, he dead, but he said he didn't die, so he picked him up. But there was this one. Is it Dorcas now? Dorcas. Hallelujah. Please, are we here? Dorcas. And Bible said, God arranged Peter to be there. But they used one word, full of good works about her. Let's read it quickly before the choir sing. Acts chapter 11. I think so. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Verse, is it 11 now? I hope I'm right. Or is it 9? Sorry, it's 9. Yes, verse 36. At Joppa, there was a certain disciple named Tabitha, which is translated Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and charitable deeds, which she did. So, okay, good. Next verse. Next verse, quickly. Good, that's good. So Peter returned with them. As soon as he had arrived, they took him to the upstairs room. The room was filled with widows who were weeping and showing him the coats and other clothes Dorcas had made for them. Just be with me. I need some few minutes to finish up. But Peter asked them all to leave the room. Then he knelt and prayed. Turning to the body, said, get up, Tabitha. And she opened her eyes. When she saw Peter, she sat up. Now, this is what I want to close with. When I read this story, I said, Lord, why did you single her out? He said, Psalm 41 worked for her. Let's get Psalm 41, verse 1 to verse 3, quickly. Psalm 41, verse 1. Oh, the joys of those who are kind to the poor. The Lord rescued them when they are in trouble. Next verse. The Lord protects them and keeps them alive It gives them prosperity in the land and rescues them from their enemies. Verse 3, this is where I'm going. The Lord nurses them. Wow. When they are sick and restores them to health. I learned something that if you are going to stay healthy, help the poor. Make it your constant habit to reach out and help the less privileged. That will keep you and sustain you alive. That even when death comes knocking at the door, those men and women you have done things for, they are going to rise up with their voice in God's presence to do that. Because you have a reason to stay alive. You are helping the greatest work of God, human beings. So, I close like this. Embark on helping other afflicted lives. So, when affliction comes to you, there will be a record. Like Ezekiah said, Lord, I've walked before you. Thank you very much.
We have come with open eyes. ancient words in palm, ancient words ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts, oh, let the ancient words in palm. We have come with open hearts, oh, let the ancient words in palm.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. You know, that was very encouraging for me. We just opened the ancient words a few minutes ago. They look very, very ancient to our modern world, but they are ever true and life-impacting. Praise God. Let's clap our hands for Jesus and his word, the words of Christ. Hallelujah. We're going to give our offering now, and then we have a bad day to go. Let's pray for our offering. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. We bless you. We give you glory and honor. We expect your ancient words in this modern life to work as it always works, and we will give you all the glory. And let you know that you are the one that's making it work. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the ancient word concerning our flourishing. You said we shall flourish like a palm tree, even in the midst of what is going on today. And we give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Can we give? While we are giving, I have to come for assistance. And I have to come begging like this once in a while. We are tidying up. We have done our walkway. Praise God, we've got it finished. And then we noticed that our fan was giving us problems. So we wanted to get battery, but there was no battery. So we should buy more solar panels so that we will have light all through. We got about 18 solar panels added to what? And then they said we need to get some more. And in the last couple of weeks, we've spent almost about $3 million to fix that up. But they told me again on Friday that we need an extra battery, which we bought for $450 before. It's now $900,000. It's times two. Plus some other things go to about 1.5. So we need some help. If you can help us in any way, I will really appreciate that. So we can tidy up the last work so that we can have particular, we can have continuous light in the children's building over there and do our meetings there. So that's, we need that to get some solar panel, buy the battery, 1.5 million. So any way you can help us, please do. God bless you as you do so. Hallelujah. Prof, we're going to do back day right now, so you're going to conduct that for us. Praise God. Okay, anybody born in the month of January, all the Abiodons, please stand up. All the Abiodons. All the Abiodons, please stand up. All the Abiodons, please stand up. All the Abiodons, is that what you say, Yoruba? It's both Yoruba word, it's both male and female. Anybody else? Please march forward majestically. Let's clap for them as they come. Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, happy birthday, happy birthday to you.
I want to ask you, how old are you now? All right, let's just pray for them. Can you support your hands toward them? That's what I want to do. Let's just pray for them that God has kept them, God has watched over them, God has minister to them, God has forgiven them, God has healed them, God has redeemed them and is still redeeming them, God has crowned them, God has kept them going, they knew their youth. Let's appreciate God that God will do much more in the years ahead, that the years ahead of them will be far better than the years behind them. Let's pray together. Let's agree as our brethren that the Lord will make them smile more, the Lord will use them more for his glory. The Lord will attend to their needs, physical, emotional, spiritual, marital, every way. Our dear Father, thank you for our brothers and sisters in Christ standing before you. We welcome them into a new year they are stepping into. And we ask that all your benefits, all your promises, all your commandments, may they come to bear upon their lives. And that will bring them guidance, direction, and comfort in the days ahead. In the name of Jesus, we give you all the glory. Amen. Can we clap our hands for Jesus? Happy birthday. Can you come to this side? Please come. Come and cut your cake.
Come and see the Lord is good. Come and see the Lord is good. There is nothing he cannot do.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I like this kind of birthday. Sizable, few people. Please, is anyone celebrating today? Oh, my sister, move closer.
Oh.
And please, let the rest of us move there. I'm sure the way it is, everyone can have a share of the knife. If your hand won't get there, just stretch forth, do it by faith. Oh, I like that. Ropita, that's actually my faith. Church, let's join them to praise the Lord. At the shout of hallelujah, they will cut the cake. And because the Lord has been so faithful to you, and because we are so sure his faithfulness remains forever, we join you to praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Congratulations. Please wait back. So have a piece of cake.
Please stay there. You got your cake and give it to you.
Happy birthday. Happy birthday. Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Before we leave, our time is up, but we didn't do like we did last week. We have repented a little bit. Happy New Year one more time. If you know any pastor around your house, around your area, you know any pastor friend, we want you to help us give them this and be. We have a pastor's forum we run every month. The pastors come all over town, and we church pay for their food, and they eat and discuss and enjoy themselves. So if you know any pastor, can you just help us? You want to give them this coming Thursday is the program. And can you help us? If you know any pastor, can you lift up your hand so we can give you? All right, please, can you help me? We are the handbills. Quickly, please come. Hands are up. Let's give to them. Help us give the pastor. This coming Thursday is the program. It's the last Thursday of the month. I'm waiting for you. Please come quickly. Our time is running. We are already late. Give us. Just get, they're already hands. You can see their hands up. Give it to them. Thank you. Over here. At the front here, there are so many hands here. Yeah, thank you. So you can help us give pastor, if you know any pastor. Can we get some more quickly? Yes, on this side. Thank you. At the front here, thank you. So help us give a pastor that you know and invite them to church. Thank you. Or to their program on Thursday, this coming Thursday. Thank you. Thank you so much. Over there. All right. Can we get up on our feet? Hallelujah. All right. Okay, everybody has gotten. Can you turn toward your neighbor, take their hands and say, I pray that the Lord will keep you, the Lord will strengthen you, the Lord will keep you going this week and beyond this week. May he prosper your way, and may you prosper in the will of God. May you live in good health, and in the name of Jesus, may the love of God manifest in your life and through your life to others. And in the name of Jesus, I agree for your victory. I agree for your blessing. I agree with you for your peace. In the name of Jesus. Satan, you have no place in our lives together. In Jesus' name. Tell the person, thank you for praying for me, and have a lovely, lovely week. If it's your wife, just grab your hand and go out together. If it's not your wife, drop your hands and let's go home. Praise God. Thank you so much for coming. God bless you real good. All right. Hello. Just before you leave, men will have a program, Zoom meeting, next Sunday. We'll talk more about it. It's going to be Zoom. You're not coming to church. So we'll hear about that one and on your platform. Thank you so much.